Mau.
And this is the Freedom Fiends.
Mow.
And this is hour one of the Freedom Fiends, broadcasting from the Wormabago Mobile Studio in the murky depths of Bootleg Bog, where even the plants are carnivorous and the revenuers dare not tread. The Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no government license, allowing reuse by anyone except governments, and you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. And my name is Ben Stone, and joining me by way of Fiend Phone Satellite Computer Technology is Lusander Fiend, way up in the almost to Canada in Michigan, and Davi Barker out there on the beautiful west coast of America in sunny California. How you guys doing today?
Pretty good. How about you?
Hey, good here.
I'm doing well. The temperatures have had a bit of a drop lately, and now they're back up a bit. It was kind of interesting to see the mosquitoes wearing coats and scarves and earmuffs.
Well,
it was down in the 40s and 50s.
It dipped way down into the 50s. That's pretty wild.
Yep.
I'm down here on the on what is often called the Redneck Riviera. It's in that strip of land on the Gulf of Mexico between Pensacola and Mobile, Alabama, or more specifically between Pensacola and the Mississippi Alabama border. And for the last couple of weeks, pretty much everybody down here has been talking about the anniversary of Hurricane Katrina. And especially since there's been, you know, a couple possibilities of storms that might turn into something. And that kind of gets the news people all riled up and agitated. And that gets people talking. And it also sort of brings up the topic of gun grabbers and gun confiscation and gun laws and gun rules, and who's gonna come in here and go door to door and take your guns, and will anybody ever do that? Will that ever happen in America? Will there ever be door to door gun confiscations in America? And if it happens, will it be a Republican administration that's doing it? Will it be a Democrat administration that's doing it? Who would do something like this? What kind of politicians can we trust? What kind of politicians can we not trust? And just in thinking about that, I threw this out and asked if who'd want to be on a show specific on that, and I got back Davi and Lou, who definitely wanted to talk about this topic. So Lou, let's start with you. What do you got to say about the possibility of door-to-door gun grabs?
Well, the question is not, will it happen? The question is, will it happen again? And more likely, the question is, when will it happen again? And as far as what puppet party is in the White House at the time, it doesn't matter if the left boot or the right boot is on your neck, you still have a boot on your neck. And when we talk about the gun confiscations back during Hurricane Katrina, police and military, National Guardsmen, were going around door to door, and they were kicking in doors. I mean, literally kicking in doors like they're on a SWAT raid looking for raw milk and unapproved farm fresh eggs. And they were confiscating guns. And most people would say, oh, well, that's the poor neighborhoods. No, it wasn't. It was actually some of the wealthier areas. And there's a video clip, and you're going to play the audio from that, and people can hear exactly what happened in there. And towards the end, there's a young National Guardsman that's being interviewed, and he's asked about what it's like to patrol American streets, and he would much rather be in Iraq, but give it a really good listen as to what he says. It's almost like he is nonchalant about what might possibly happen. So if you could go ahead.
Why is it acceptable if it's a poor neighborhood? Huh? What does that have to do with anything?
Well, it's assumed that, oh, well, poor people, they're gangbangers and hoodlums and drug dealers and all this other stuff. You know, but people say, well, the affluent people, you don't have to worry about them. It's the poor. It's the other people.
All right.
Yeah. It's a subconscious double standard. Okay. People have a tendency to assume the worst out of poor people, you know, especially like ghetto type poor, inner city type poor. But Ben, do you have that clip available?
I do. Let's play that and see how it goes here. And it may take me just a second to get this lined up. It's on the slowest computer that I own. Go ahead, Lou.
Okay, and this is, I believe this is from an ABC News broadcast.
Where today, authorities stepped up their efforts to empty the city. Bob Woodruff is there again tonight with an extraordinary human drama unfolding. Bob?
That's true, Elizabeth, and good evening from New Orleans. Here, the police and the National Guard find themselves in a very difficult position tonight to try to carry out an order to force people from the city without actually using force.
Today in New Orleans, they got a lot tougher on the holdouts.
Police department, come home!
Not only the flooded areas, but New Orleans' driest and wealthiest neighborhoods, too.
Police department!
The police and National Guard going street by street, house to house.
We need to make sure, too, that whenever we knock on doors, people refuse to leave. We need to make note, call it in.
They say there are no orders to use force, just strong persuasion, sometimes entering open houses with guns drawn, and instructions to disarm anyone inside.
You say guns will be taken?
No one will be able to be armed. We will take all weapons.
That happened today in this wealthy neighborhood where homeowners had armed themselves to protect their mansions. Residents were handcuffed on the ground. In the end, police took their weapons but let them stay in their homes.
They were a little bit threatened because our weapons were bigger than their weapons.
For many of the police and guard troops, it is an uncomfortable job to do this in an American city. This guard unit occupied a church, using it as a base camp. They had to leave a note because they could not get hold of the pastor to get permission.
It is surreal. Yeah, you never expect to do this in your own country.
Chris Montgomery says he'd rather be in Iraq than patrolling American neighborhoods.
Walking up and down these streets, you don't want to think about the stuff that you're going to have to do if somebody pops around the corner.
You mean shoot an American?
Yeah.
That's,
You mean shoot an American?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The reporter clarified that specifically for that reason. That is exactly what the guy meant. He was talking about shooting an American who just pops around the corner. And that's, you know, that's the level. And I wish you could see the neighborhoods they were going through, because the reporter actually said mansions. Well, that's exactly what they were. These were half million dollar mansions, beautiful homes, and these were, you know, people who were not affected by the hurricane. They were up where there was no water. The streets were clear. You could drive on the streets. You know, everything was fine. And yet they were still going up with automatic weapons pointed at the door, fully drawn, ready to shoot, banging on the door like they were at a SWAT raid. And that was happening in people's, you know, right in neighborhoods. And they'll do it today. They'll do it tomorrow. They'll do it. The same guys who are taking those orders and are doing that would do that under any circumstances they're told to do it under.
Yeah, and the thing is, when they're asking the young guardsman about it, he gives the impression of, well, I don't really want to do it, but orders are orders. Befehl is befehl.
Yeah.
So,
well, that's
sort
of the question. The question I don't think is so much, will they follow orders when they're given, but when will the orders be given and under what context?
Yeah.
Because they're going to do the jackboots that carry out the orders, they're going to do whatever they're told.
Right. Yeah, they will.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, troops around the world through all of history have a very long history of just following orders.
Yeah.
So, I mean, if you look at all the folks that they got rounded up in Germany and also got rounded up in the Soviet Union or China, you know, they wound up in those camps because cops.
Right.
And soldiers would go out and arrest them. They wound up in mass graves because cops and soldiers did the deed. The great dictators of history, and when I say great, I don't mean accomplishment. I mean great as in the description of their destruction and their murder. You know, those dictators killed very few people, if any, with their own hands. It was the people that were willing to just follow orders, just do their job, just take care of their family, that filled mass graves that would just absolutely shock the most, you know, ardent Christian or just person who doesn't like seeing people get murdered.
Yeah.
So it was obedience to authority, not authority, that did it.
And you always hear things from both soldiers and cops. You'll hear them say, well, that's above my pay grade. You know, they're not going to think about that. They're not going to address that question because that's above my pay grade. All I'm paid to do is just enforce this. And they don't want to think about it. They don't want to talk about it. They don't want to, you know. And that is when you take morals, you as a human being, take your moral responsibility and you just set it aside and you say, well, I'm not responsible for my actions. Somebody else will be responsible. But the fact is, like now, Lou, you said, you mentioned the phrase that was used at the Nuremberg trials. You said that in German. Say that again for the listeners.
Oh, Befehl ist Befehl. Orders are orders.
Yeah, and that was the excuse given in the Nuremberg trials, and it didn't help because it's not an excuse. When a person does something evil, doesn't matter if they're ordered to do it or not. The person doing it is guilty of the evil.
Yes, and I see this all the time with cops apologizing, so to speak, for what they're doing. And when they're engaged in road piracy, or if they're sent out to harass a pig farmer over the type of over the breed of pigs that he has on his farm, or if they're sent out to, just harass anybody that hasn't harmed somebody else. Any of this victimless crime nonsense, they'll say, "Well, just doing my job." And in all honesty, when they're saying that, is because subconsciously, or maybe even consciously, they know that they're doing something horrible. But they are guilt-ridden enough to try and justify it with the, well, just doing my job. I don't want to take food off of your family's table, but you know what? Just doing my job.
Yep.
Hey, I don't want to lock you, I don't want to lock you in a cage and take you away from your family because you have raw milk and you drove across the state line with it. You know, just doing my job.
Yep.
I don't want to take your guns, even though the Second Amendment says shall not be infringed. You know, just doing my job.
Yep. So, we'll be right back after this trip to the market, and we'll keep doing our job.
Worms.
Worms.
You and the hamster in your brain are listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and his weird friends.
New Hampshire is under quarantine as walking corpses devour the flesh of the living. Max is 11 years old and surviving alone. Slow-moving and non-thinking, the dead swarm his home. Now he must apply his porcupine Freedom Scouts training to improvise his escape. Look for Survivor Max on Facebook, read reviews on Amazon, or read Chapter 1 at SurvivorMax.com.
When you shop online, please do it through the Freedom Fiends Amazon link over on the right side of FreedomFiends.com. It won't cost you any extra, and the Fiends will get a little taste from Amazon, and Amazon will save you the danger of drive-by stabbings at your local mall. Amazon sells pretty much everything you can buy on this earth, except for guns and weed. But they do sell the DVD Guns and Weed, The Road to Freedom. So get that for your gun-hating stoner brother or neocon gun nut dad. They'll thank you for it. That's FreedomFiends.com. Freedom, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Sierra.com.
Yapping about cops.
Meow.
And horrible people that would try to take your guns. Who would do such a thing as... Who would take... And it's not just guns. It's like property. It's property. There's nothing magical about a gun. It's just a tool. It's just an object like any other object that you own. You can kill a person just as dead with a hammer as you can a gun. Maybe even more efficiently. And you know, so it's not that it's any kind of a magical object. It's a matter of property. The fact that that the people in uniform think that they can just step in, take something that belongs to you, and shoot you if you resist. It's a really bizarre way of thinking about things, I suppose.
Or shoot your dogs and then not tell you where they buried them or took them.
Hey, that's the voice of Michael W. Dean.
Yeah. Hi, guys. Don't cry over some cops. that's the title of this show. I don't know. I saw it somewhere. I don't know what it means.
Don't cry over spilled cops. That sounds like a Davy Barker quote.
Central scrutinizer, man.
I've said that before.
Oh, wow.
So I don't think they'll be so overt if they ever end up confiscating weapons. I believe that they could have a concerted effort to confiscate weapons, and I believe it is their goal. But the idea of going door to door nationwide strikes me as too overt. I think it'd be more likely that they pass some goofy regulation, like something needs to be added to every pistol in America, and then they'll go around with compliance officers confiscating the non-compliant weapons. Like that's the way I imagine these things happening.
If they really want to get your weapons, they're not gonna have a Ruby Ridge shootout as likely as they're going to, have five cop cars pull you over on the way to the dentist.
Right.
And then cuff you and take the keys out of your pocket.
Now, I would argue...
Or go into your house while you're at the dentist.
Yeah.
There you go.
I would argue that in a
sense...
So
don't go to the dentist, ever.
Dentists are evil.
Right.
That's the problem, the dentists. Get them.
They pulled your teeth and your guns at the same time.
Yeah.
Well, what do you have to look at, and going with the Hurricane Katrina confiscations, and you look at it, darn near any other expansion of government power in history, and Robert Higgs does a wonderful job of explaining this in his book, Crisis and Leviathan. There's always a emergency, either real or imagined, that politicians will use to justify the expansions of power. So although cops weren't being shot at by looters and pillagers that I'm aware of, and definitely not from this particular neighborhood here, but by that, in order to maintain order, because of the the hooliganism and all that other stuff, that it was necessary to disarm the general public, which, as a side note, leaves them unarmed and unable to defend themselves against hooliganism and the looters and pillagers and everything else. But most people didn't freak out. Realistically, these, we support the Second Amendment, we're willing to do anything to protect it, protect gun ownership and all this other stuff. Those people should have gotten in their beat up pickup trucks, drove down there, and started dealing with the infringers. And not just the constitutions. I mean, they should have gone in, made a citizen's arrest, beat the living hell out of them, and shouted "Stop resisting!" afterwards.
But they didn't
do that.
Cops need hooliganism to justify their existence. But in my experience, most of the hooligans are like the cops' kids.
Yeah.
So it's a closed circuit.
or the cops themselves.
Yeah.
But the thing
the people that want to be cops but were too dumb to pass.
Or too smart.
Yeah.
According to Connecticut, there's no such thing as too dumb to pass the exam, but that's an entirely different story. But the thing is, under the guise of an emergency, these people went around kicking down doors, and please put the video in the show notes. And listeners, if you haven't seen it before, go to this. It's going to look like Army Rangers storming a compound looking for a high value target. And this is just the local cops and the guardsmen going into people's houses. They're not going up against the enemy. I'm using the air quotes there. They're going up against, their fellow citizens.
Yeah.
The people that pay their salaries.
Have you seen the one video, and I don't have it queued up or anything, but there's one where this older lady, and she's probably 70 or 80 years old, they came into her house and physically wrestled her. Yeah, in New Orleans. Physically wrestled her gun away from her. First, they asked her if she had any weapons, and she reached over and picked up her pistol. She says, "Yeah, I got my pistol right here." And they physically wrestled it out of her hands and bruised her arms all up in the process. This is an old woman who has a gun that she was going to protect herself with, and that's how they treated her.
Yeah, and it wasn't like a Glock 40 caliber or anything like that. It was this little tiny revolver, probably a 22, and it was like the next size up from a Derringer. Now, she was not brandishing that weapon at those cops.
Right. No, they ask her.
They beat her like she did.
Yeah, exactly. We'll be right back after this trip to the market.
Worms.
Stick with us.
Ripcock flags.
Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean. This is what radio sounds like now.
Are you sick of government lackeys who say, you didn't build that? Are you tired of elitists like Barack Obama and Al Gore taking credit for the web while trying to take over the web? Are you disgusted by experts whose concept of the internet is that it's a series of tubes? Take back the free market of computing by encouraging software developers to adopt the BIPCOT NoGov license. The BIPCOT NoGov license allows any use or modification except by governments. Go to BIPCOT.org. That's Bravo, India, Papa, Charlie, Oscar, Tango.org.
Ben is such a content producer. He's like, I'm having a conversation during the break with Davi. I'm like, should we have this conversation on the air, even though it's like personal and private? Ben's like, yeah, let's do that. Let's do that. We need content. So I did.
Worms.
We got this thing called the BIPCOT, no government license. It's something we made up that people can use to put on their projects or services or anything, software, whatever they make. It basically says anybody can reuse it without limitations except government or members or workers from the government. And it's kind of catching on. People are using it for a lot of stuff. But I got a flag made. It's like 3 by 5 feet with the logo that Davi made. And it looks really cool. You can go to BIPCOT.org, BIPCOT.org, to see it and other uses of it. And we got the flag so Davi can hang it up. He does, like, merch tables at events around the country.
Yeah, I'll put it on the front of the table.
When is your next event there, Davi?
Well, I'm going to Walker Stalker Con in October, and I'm going to, what does ISNA stand for? The Islamic Society of North America next week.
Okay.
It's like a conference. I have a art piece in their gallery.
Would I have to overnight it to get it to you? Like if I just mailed it first class Monday, would you get it in time?
I don't know. I think we're leaving Wednesday evening.
Then I won't rush it. But yeah, man, it looks beautiful. And so it was like $60 with shipping for the one off. And that's good or bad for a one off?
That's good. I mean, anything that's a one off is going to be expensive.
Yeah.
The shipping, you're taking a hit on the shipping, but it's decent. Flags are unusually expensive for what they are, I'm noticing.
Well, this is cheap. I looked around at a lot of them, and a lot of them are like three times as much for a one-off.
Is it as clear on the back as it is on the front, or is one side kind of dingy?
I think the back's kind of dingy. I don't know if I looked at the back, but yeah. I think it would work better as hanging from a table than hanging from a flagpole.
Yeah.
Although, I do want to have it so people can order them from the company at cost. You know, like if somebody wants one, I don't want to have to deal with it or make profit off it. Just have them. I wrote to the company and asked if they do that. Maybe give a few bucks discount if they can make more than one. We'll see. But yeah, man, BIPCOT.
Cool.
For life. Don't cry over spilled BIPCOT.
I'm back.
All right. Stop talking about Lou, you guys. All right. So what do you want to talk about, Lou?
We're on the air, Lou.
Yeah.
Oh, really? I had no idea.
Yep.
Oh, well, do we want to go back to the subject, or do we want to keep talking about goofy stuff and non-related stuff?
I think we should talk about goofy stuff, because it was getting really hot and heavy and hot, and, like, you know, it's good that the Fiends have some reality once in a while with stuff like that, but everybody does that. Every anarcho-libertarian podcast does that. Every radio show, every blog is all about the tyranny today, and I think we need to establish that every show and be like, yeah, cops are not your friend. They are you may know a cop that's your friend, but cops in general, their goal is
until he's ordered otherwise.
Yeah, yeah. Their goal is to put you in jail. That's their whole thing is to run you through the mill, sap your resources, you know, and ruin your life so they can have another notch in their belt like the horny little freaks they are.
Hey, here's a thought for you. I was looking at some pictures on Google Images the other day to make a meme, and there's the cops arresting black folks before segregation was repealed for being in unauthorized areas. So
being black without permission.
Yeah, for being black in white areas. You know, because maybe it was also unauthorized eating at lunch counters. I don't know, but anyway.
Yeah.
And then I also did a Google search for pictures of Klan members physically attacking blacks. And strangely enough, I couldn't find so many pictures of that. But anyway, they were united in this.
They just want to be photographed.
Yeah. But here's the thing. The cops enforcing the segregation laws and the Klan doing their mischievous deeds,
and also supporting the segregation laws. They wore entirely different costumes, but they were united for a common goal. So here's the question: when you see the cop doing his thing and arresting black folks during segregation, that's the law. But when you see Klansmen wearing their sheets and hoods, you know, that's racism. Why is that? Why can they do the same exact thing and one would be considered a hero and a protector and the other is, you know, some dumb redneck?
I don't know. Don't know at all.
Statism is weird.
Because they have a flag.
Statism, there you go. They didn't have a flag. Yeah.
Maybe if they
flag makes it official.
Maybe if they got over to Black Bloc and ordered their own flag, then they could... Although the Klansmen have a flag, actually. They have several clans, different KKK groups have flags. So that
I want to talk about Black Bloc and why the irony of the fact that us anarcho-capitalists, Davi and I always end up ordering our merch manufactured by anarcho-communists. Why? What is Black Bloc, and why do we have to go?
It's because they undervalue their capital, that's why.
right, there you go.
It's a price problem.
Yeah. So get it before they go out of business?
I know. No, but they stay in business, man. I mean, Grizzle's Buttons has been going forever. And so Black Bloc is B-L-A-C-B-L-O-K, I think. It's a European idea for demonstrating, including, like, you know, throwing the tear gas canisters back at the cops, kind of demonstrating, where everybody dresses all in black and wears like a black, you know, face mask so they can't be identified. That's what Black Bloc is called. It's not really a political alignment.
It's a strategy.
It's more of a strategy. Yeah. And they actually sent me a black mask with this flag.
Oh, cool.
Okay.
Like weird little graphics on it, but wasn't very identifiable.
Yeah. Now, it's essentially go ahead.
I was going to say,
go ahead, Ben.
You go, Davi.
Okay, I'm going to play traffic cop here. Davi, you go, because you know about this.
Yeah, so there was a lot of confusion with what Black Bloc meant during the Occupy movement, because most people sort of had this impression that it meant, like, lefty, violent anarchists, right? And then I met some, like, old-school Black Bloc guys who'd been doing it for years, and they say it's essentially a we-will-not-be-moved strategy.
Yeah, yeah.
And they're the types that will, like, handcuff themselves to gateways or string themselves across the freeway, or like they're it means like a block, like that won't be moved. It means to make a barrier of yourself.
Yeah. Okay, Ben.
Davi,
go ahead.
They were the ones in Germany that were blocking train tracks with human blocks of train tracks to keep atomic waste from going through neighborhoods and that kind of a thing.
Yeah.
I made a modest proposal a while back that ANCAPs could actually assist Black Blocs during protests by providing them things like, you know, food and water and medical treatment, and coming up and wiping their eyes, coming up and providing them when the cops have sprayed them with mace, the ANCAPs could come up and wipe their face and maybe unhook their handcuffs or whatever, you know.
And build them.
And build them for it. Yes, exactly. That was kind of part of the, you know, because we like to make money on things. And they have
well,
money.
But really, they'd have to agree to the service. Man, if you search Black Bloc on Google Images, it is exactly like what we described. It's like 1,000 people all dressed in black with black hoods. Like, it looks like what your grandmother thinks when she hears the word anarchist. You know?
Yeah.
Actually, Ben, another good idea is to go to those rallies and sell them Che T-shirts that say "Smash Capitalism" on there.
Yeah,
you could get a lot of money out of communists for stuff like that.
Well, there's a meme that is it Davi? It's supposed to be Davi. It's like it's an anarchy ball. You know the explain anarchy ball in the meme I'm talking about, Davi. If we're doing
I don't know what meme you're talking about, but anarchy ball is a comic strip where like the ANCAP and the ANCOM tend to argue and fight, and there's some other characters too,
they're just balls. Like they're not even bodies. They're just a ball that's like red and black for the commie and yellow and gold for the capitalist. And it's the capitalist is always right and the commie is always stupid. It's done by an ANCAP. But who does it? Do you know?
No, I don't know.
They actually have a crew. There's several people.
Oh, have you seen the plushies?
Yeah.
No.
Plushies are
that's
hilarious.
That's a good idea, though.
Yeah, yeah. And they look really well made. But
Yeah, I was chatting with the creator of Anarchy Ball not too long ago.
Was that Ben?
Oh, and, who is it?
Gosh, I'd have to go back into my chat logs to find out. But
yeah, let me know. Maybe they want to be anonymous. Just let me know. But they do, there's a meme that I swear is based on Davi, and it's like all these ANCOM looking Anarchy Ball, you know, like gutter punks, you know, the ones that you can like smell through the picture, in line. Buying like commie t-shirts from an ANCAP Anarchy Ball, and I swear it's based on Davi. Like, there's something about the way the merch table's set up or something that like is Davi. You haven't seen that, Davi?
No, we use something similar. There's a famous Banksy mural of a bunch of anarchists lined up buying a t-shirt from a vendor, and I think the t-shirt says smash capitalism in the graffiti, and so we took that and we made Bitcoin Not Bombs advertisements out of it by showing the guy selling that. But that's a pretty famous image. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if Anarchy Ball got a hold of it. Yeah. But the original one's Banksy.
Oh, I think Anarchy Ball took your takeoff on Banksy's and just stuck the balls over their heads.
Okay.
Yeah, that's it. Bitcoin Not Bombs, and that's why I knew it was you.
So if we had ANCAPs, they could go to...
That's cool.
If we had ANCAPs that could go to protests like a block away and sell all black uniforms to be sold to possible black bloc people and then uniform them?
Black bloc has kind of been replaced in a way or updated with the masks of the... Who's the British guy?
Guy Fawkes.
Guy Fawkes.
Yeah, that's kind of the new black bloc.
Yeah.
Yeah, kind of.
Well, that's a little bit
more trendy. I wrote an article like a year ago called The Million Man Market, and it was based on the idea that like Occupy and these other sort of movements were trying to organize marches. And I was thinking, you know, if you're an agorist and you realize that street activism is kind of stupid, like that doesn't mean that a street full of people isn't a great place to sell things. And I've always thought like we should go out and be selling them, you know, little trinkets and trash and pins and stickers. And like, why aren't we at all of these protests making money off of the crowd?
Yeah.
Got a permit to sell that swag.
So explain ANCOM and ANCAP for people who don't know what we're talking about.
Sure. So both are anarchist in spirit. They're against the idea of nation states and governments and coercion and things like this. But I suppose it's a difference of opinion about what occurs without the government. So anarcho-capitalists, or I guess libertarian anarchists, would say, ANCAPs, would say that private property is a legitimate thing and that there are plenty of ways to preserve and protect private property without the state. And the anarcho-communist or anarcho-socialist would say, or left anarchist of any kind would say, that property is theft and that property itself is a form of government and therefore there must be a socialist communist utopia without the state.
Yep. Alright, I'm gonna split. Have a good show, you guys.
Hey.
Worms.
Good to talk to you, Michael.
You're listening to The Freedom Fiends, an invigorating alternative to those other shows.
Are you tired of governments murdering people around the world? Stop using their money. There is an alternative. Bitcoin is a stateless free market non-political currency. Bitcoin cannot be inflated or controlled by any government. By using their money, you are helping the state. Stop doing it. You have an incredible alternative available now. Learn it, use it, spread it. Get started with Bitcoin at bitcoin.com. That's bitcoin.com.
Are you tired of your taxes funding endless occupations around the world? Antiwar.com is run by people who understand that wars abroad become wars at home, wars on our freedoms. Antiwar.com is dedicated to bringing you the latest in news, views, interviews, and reviews from the top movers and shakers in the anti-occupation movement. Antiwar.com has it all, from thorough foreign policy analysis to interviews with whistleblowers who used to run the military-industrial complex. Anti-war, pro-free market. That's antiwar.com.
Freedom Fiends. Finishing off the first hour. So Michael had to step out. He has to take care of his health. And that leaves me, Ben, and Lou, and Davi still with you on the Freedom Fiends. And
yo.
It's worms. Yeah. And, you know, we haven't talked about worms. Why do we say worms? Davi, explain worms to the listeners out there.
Worms, what does it stand for? It stood for something.
We don't know. We just say it. Well, originally,
with all these acronyms for what it stood for. Oh, it was meow. Meow stood for the moral equivalent of war.
Yeah.
But no, worms, it's a slang version of word, like truth, brother, I heartily concur. Like, that's essentially what it means. It's also kind of the fiend's aloha, right? It means hello, goodbye, I love you.
And it's a warrant canary.
And it's a warrant canary. If we ever revert to saying word, as is the traditional convention, you'll know that something is wrong.
Yeah. So we definitely have not been contacted. I have definitely not been contacted with the government, so I can still say worms.
Yep. The government has not gone door to door and confiscated everybody's worms.
You know, I did want to add one thing on the gun grab thing. I think a lot of people have this vision of some kind of, you know, a military going door to door and everything. And I'm not saying that won't happen. I doubt that it'll happen on a nationwide basis. I can see it more on a temporary, small-time basis, you know, when there is a temporary emergency that they're going to use as an excuse. But I think what is far more serious is the slow, steady gun grab that's going on right now involving, like, vets. You know, declare a vet mentally ill, now he can't own a gun. Declare anybody else mentally ill, now they can't have a gun. And they're a convict. Oh, he was caught with a tiny amount of some substance we've decided is illegal, therefore he's a dangerous drug user, and he's on probation, we can't let him have a gun. You know, how long until, well, now they're talking about anybody on disability. The possibility of looking through Social Security files and saying anybody's on disability, maybe there's a reason they shouldn't have a gun. Well, and then what? The elderly, the, you know, somebody's late on child support, behind on a traffic payment, traffic tickets, you know, parking tickets, behind on IRS payments. I mean, you know, piece by piece, they can find excuses to separate specific groups out. Like, there was recently a federal court that decided that someone who is an illegal alien is still covered under the Second Amendment and can legally own a firearm in the United States. And so now, all of a sudden, all of these people who are hardcore right-wing, trust the government, let's, you know, get back to the Constitution, those people are now confronted with the problem of, you know, the Supreme Courts or the federal courts saying that that an immigrant, an illegal immigrant, has a right to possess a gun. So how long until that's
modified? Almost like it's a natural right and not just a civil right.
Or a paper right. The whole point of the Constitution, at least if you listen to the Constitution lovers and other types out there, is the purpose of the Constitution is to restrain the government, not the population.
Right.
And something else that that I've heard, and Judge Andrew Napolitano enunciated this quite well, the Constitution goes where the U.S. government goes. So the U.S. government does not get to violate the Constitution when it travels abroad. And it seems like many of these so-called constitutionalists today want to use the Constitution to limit the population and not the government. And unfortunately, in Soviet America, the Constitution has always limited you, the population. One other thing, when you talk about the people being deemed mentally losing their gun rights because of mental health diagnoses, it's not based specifically upon a diagnosis. It is based upon being deemed mentally incompetent or unable to take care of themselves. So, for example, somebody who is on disability, like Social Security disability, if they are required by a court declaration that they need to have a payee for their benefits, that is the type of person that it would apply to, but not just somebody who's been diagnosed with depression or panic anxiety disorder.
So far, you mean?
Worms. So far.
I heartily concur.
Stick with us. We'll be right back after this trip to the market and the news.
Wake up and smell the freedom. One of the easiest things you can do to help Liberty is to torrent Freedom Fiends episodes to help keep them drone-proof. You can set up your home computer to download and share Freedom Fiends archives over BitTorrent. You can even set up scheduling so it only shares while you're asleep or at work. Put your unused computing power to work and help keep the Freedom Fiends around well into the future. Simply go to freedomfiends.com and click on the Torrent Club link and learn how to torrent and share Freedom Fiends archives.
Are you sick of peaceful people being locked away for victimless crimes? Instead of trying to get out of jury duty, consider taking it so you can do the right thing. A single juror with a conscience can send someone home to their family instead of to a jail cell. If there's no victim, how can there be a crime? And if the judge or prosecutor are keeping you in the dark, what are they trying to hide? You can vote your conscience instead of being a pawn of the state. For more information, Google jury nullification or check out the Fully Informed Jury Association at fija.org.
This is Hour 2 of the Freedom Fiends Weekend Edition, broadcasting through the Libertarian Reeducation Center's Ion Cannon, mounted high atop the Wormabago Mobile Studios in the depths of Smuggler's Bayou, where the swamp is alive with a thousand eyes and none of them belong to the NSA. Freedom Fiends is covered by a BIPCOT no-government license that allows reuse by anyone except governments, and you can learn more about that at BIPCOT.org. That's BIPCOT.org. And again this hour, my name's Ben Stone, and with me, by way of Fiendphone satellite technology with computers and amazing stuff, is Lusander Fiend and Davi Barker. Hey guys, how's it going?
Wimes.
Good. And you never know, last hour, Michael Dean dropped in on us, and he could do that again. We never know. Hey, Davi, how's it going?
We need to change the password.
I'm pretty good. You know what we didn't cover is whether or not you think a Democrat or a Republican administration is more likely to be a gun-grabbing administration.
That's true.
The answer to that is clearly yes.
Yes.
Yes. If there were any difference, we could analyze that question.
Right, right. Well, what you have to look at is the history of gun control here in America. Oh, and on a side note, there were several countries in the 20th century that implemented complete gun control, such as Germany, the Soviet Union, China, a few other places. And miraculously enough, the number of murders committed with firearms absolutely skyrocketed after gun control was implemented. So I guess it's not really a good way to stop murders.
Well, yeah, it's because people knew that their victims would be unarmed.
Yeah.
Right. And strangely enough, it was the only people remaining with legally owned firearms that did the killing, and they were just following orders.
You mean when you take away all the guns from law-abiding people that the criminals don't voluntarily give up their guns? How could that be?
Well, because they need the guns to do their jobs. I mean, cops and soldiers aren't going to go out with just nightsticks. Because that was who committed those murders with the firearms after full gun control was done. But anyway, if you look at the history of gun control in the U.S., prior to the 1920s, there was very little talk of gun control other than at the state level. And the laws that were implemented were for the purposes of keeping guns out of the hands of black folks. So they didn't want black folks to have guns, be able to defend themselves, stuff like that. And this comes from like the post War of Northern Aggression era. But anyway, in 1927, when Calvin Do Nothing Coolidge was president, you know, that great libertarian who also nationalized the roads, he also signed off on the Federal Reserve Charter being permanent. But anyway, in 1927, Congress reacted to the mob violence of Prohibition, created by government prohibition, with the first federal gun restriction ever. The law banned the mail order sale of handguns or any other concealable firearm. If you go down the list, there's another one that happens in 1934, and that's obviously Roosevelt. And then in the 60s, you had, was it Lyndon Johnson signed off on the Gun Control Act of 1968 or National Firearms Act. It doesn't start out with a complete ban. What they do is they make it more difficult to obtain firearms bit by bit, incrementally. So once you have a, if you're one of these people that supports the Second Amendment, I'm not. I support gun ownership and property rights in general. But anyway, if you're one of these people that supports the Second Amendment, then any restriction whatsoever, any infringement upon your right to keep and bear arms or anything else is a violation of that amendment. And that is, you know, the start of it. So every one of those that you accept makes it a lot easier for the next one to be shoved down your throat.
You mentioned the 60s there also. It should be noted that the brave Republican hero of the world, Ronald Reagan, was one of the gun grabbers in California when he was governor. The Black Panthers were open carrying long guns, specifically in Oakland, but also coming all the way up to the Capitol in California at Sacramento in protest of some of the things that they were having to deal with. And so Reagan in California signed in a statewide ban on the open carrying of loaded long guns in California. And that was when he was governor of California in the 60s. So here we have Reagan, the hero of the gun right, banning guns because he was afraid of black people having guns. I mean, that's essentially all that it really was. He was afraid of black people having guns, so he was willing to ban them for everybody. Ronald Reagan, hero of the right, right?
Yeah. How'd they know they were loaded?
They have to stop, throw you to the ground, beat you, and then check the breech.
They have to beat you to see what's inside the chamber. But anyway, yeah. So in 67, Reagan signed the Mulford Act, which was written by a Republican assemblyman, Don Mulford. And so there you have, you know, Republican against gun owners. So it's not like the Democrat assembly forced him to sign it or just had overwhelming numbers. No, this came from a Republican. And the whole thing about the Black Panthers is because they were not getting police protection, not right. The police actually do protect, but because they weren't getting police protection, they took up arms to defend their own communities. You can say what you want about the original Black Panthers, you know, call them kind of socialistic or whatever, but they took care of their community and they were willing to go outside of government to do it. So they weren't, you know, demanding that people be taxed more to hire more government cops to go in there and mess with them. They pulled themselves up by the bootstraps, took responsibility for their own community. Wow, that sounds pretty conservative.
Yeah. Worms? Definitely.
Wimes.
You know, also, so here's back to the question then. So what kind of a politician could we expect to do that kind of thing? And I think that in the left-right myth that constantly gets thrown at us in politics, you know, people on the left tend to think, oh, well, Democrats are kind to the poor and Democrats are going to do good things for the poor and Democrats are going to control the growth of the big corporations and Democrats are going to bring peace to the world and Democrats are going to stop pollution. But when Democrats are in power, they do the exact opposite on all of those things. And people on the right, people who tend to be conservative and depend on Republicans, they always think, oh, the Republicans are going to, you know, they're going to change the law on abortion and Republicans are going to save our gun rights and Republicans are going to lower taxes and Republicans are going to shrink government. And the fact is that the Republicans are the ones who get away with the exact opposite. And that's how the game is played. The Democrats promise to their Democrat voters that they're going to behave in a certain way, and then they lie and go against that and do the opposite. And Republican politicians promise to their Republican voters, and then they lie and go against that. And yet, because the Republican voters are afraid of the Democrats, they'll go right back and vote for another Republican. And because the Democrat voters are afraid of the Republicans, they'll go right back and vote for another Democrat, even though their parties have consistently let them down and lied to them over and over and over again. And so what's the solution? Well, we could vote in the libertarians, the Libertarian Party, and then what would we have? We'd have a warmed over collection of useless people that are no better at doing government than anybody else, because a politician's a politician. It doesn't matter what the letter is in front of his name.
Yeah, the two-party system could be summarized like this. Tell two lies. Let people argue about which lie is true. and quite frankly, the so-called third parties, the LP is essentially just washouts from the Republican and Democrat parties. The Green Party and a lot of these other ones are just overflow from CPUSA.
Right.
So there's really no difference between them. So your choice is you can get kicked in the left shin or the right shin. And for some reason, people are arguing over which shin that they want to get kicked in, but nobody is saying, hey, I'd like my shins to remain intact. How about if nobody gets kicked at all? And here's something else. The supporters of these parties, it's not just the politicians that do the opposite of what they say. It's the supporters too. If you look at the people that are getting all excited about Trump, okay, so he wants to put up a wall. He wants to secure the borders. He's not a fan of the Second Amendment and gun. He supports all these different gun control measures. He's also a supporter of universal health care and all these other things. And quite frankly, for as much as he complains about how foreigners are the cause of all the ills in this country, I can't really tell if Donald Trump is running for president of the USSA in 2016 or if he's running for Germany in 1933. he's making a lot of the same complaints that Hitler made. He's saying the same crap that Stalin and Khrushchev and all those other ones said. So all these conservatives are getting behind Trump. And you're just really parroting a lot of communist stuff, and especially the ones that say that they like Trump because he's strong like Putin. Okay, so you get a strong government, you get a strong politician in there.
Is that something people say?
Yes, yes, yes.
Strong like Putin.
Yes, they're idiots. Okay. So you want a KGB Cold Warrior to be leading you? Oh, okay. And what did the KGB Cold Warriors do to their own people? No. Why don't the conservatives just move to North Korea? They got strong border security, strong immigration laws, no Mexicans, no Muslims. It's a conservative paradise. Oh, yeah, and lots of militarism, too.
Yeah, that's true. They have wonderful parades.
Yeah. So, seriously, the American communist has so much in common with the old Soviet hardliners. It's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And rant, you guys jump in.
Well, that's some pretty good stuff.
I mean, the primary is just a circus. Like, I haven't been paying very close attention because I can't seem to care. But nobody said anything substantive. Like, I keep hearing about this, like, Donald Trump is the one talking about the real issues, and I honestly couldn't tell you where he stands on many issues at all. Like, essentially, yeah, okay, I know that he doesn't like Megyn Kelly, and I know that he doesn't like Rosie O'Donnell. And, I don't know what his position on Ellen is, but, you know what I mean? What? Like, what has he said? Everything he says is all bombast and nonsense. There's no substance to anything that he says.
Well, his opinion on Megyn Kelly ties into his immigration feelings. He's completely opposed to anchor babies and anchor babes.
Ah.
And he did something. He said something that went beyond the levels of stupidity. And the only reason that I'm following this stuff as closely as I am is because I make jokes about politicians and politics on radio. He said in a speech, "The American dream is dead, but I'm going to make it bigger and better. I'm going to make that dead American dream bigger and better," is what he actually said by saying that. So,
zombie dreams. Zombie dreams.
The walking dream.
By a New York millionaire.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends. So much truth, it hurts.
This show survives on donations from fiends like you. We put that money back into our show and Liberty Outreach and donate most our ad space to Liberty organizations that make a difference. We're also a teaching hospital, educating the next generation of Liberty Talkers on the skills needed to keep the radio flame of truth burning into the future. Put your money where your heart is and make a donation of any amount to the Freedom Fiends. Please go to freedomfiends.com and click on the spinning coin on any post.
Freedom Fiends. Freedom Fiends. So, gun-grabbing politicians.
The worst form of entertainment ever.
What, radio or television?
This is my new. This is my favorite of the Fiend taglines. The worst form of entertainment ever, except for all the others.
And not only does the Freedom Fiends radio show come with a trigger warning, it also comes with a government-mandated trigger lock.
Yeah, you know, I haven't rigorously studied this at all, but I'm willing to bet that the Freedom Fiends are the only people in the world who both understand a proper trigger warning and understand proper trigger etiquette.
Trigger discipline, yeah.
Yeah, trigger discipline.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I think that it's a requirement to go through a gun safety course before you can be a co-host on the show. You have to watch Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle.
I must have been grandfathered in before that policy.
Had Dovey well, had
I mean, that makes it okay. I was going to say the grandfather clause. And actually, Ben, you would fall under that too because you are a grandfather.
Yeah. That reminds me of the old, Marx Brothers routine where one of them is trying to get the other to sign a contract and he's going through it and he says, what's this part here? And he says, oh, that's just standard in a contract. That's a sanity clause. And the other Marx Brother looks at him and says, I'm a big boy. I don't believe in a sanity clause. Ba-dum-bum.
Oh, for God's sakes.
So gun-grabbing politicians. I wanted to throw this in before we get too far in and lose all perspective of reality. So a lot of people don't realize, like there was an event that took place in the 90s. Maybe some people heard of this, but the Soviet Union collapsed, and you know there were a bunch of Soviet satellite countries that all collapsed in one way or another. And a bunch of those countries divided up and gave themselves new names and new borders, and some of them kept their old borders. But one way or the other, a bunch of those countries had tons and tons and tons of AK-47s and neat little cool 9mm pistols and SKS rifles and all kinds of fun stuff that gun people like me really, really like. And all those former Eastern Bloc countries figured out really quick during the 90s that they could sell off all of their old armament that their militaries used to have in stockpile. They could sell them into the American market. So there was this surge in the late 90s and around 2000 of a lot of really cheap, good quality but very inexpensive Eastern Bloc personal weapons, pistols, rifles, a lot of good stuff. I was able to cash in on that at the time. I had a good job in the late 90s, and I was able to just every couple of weeks just go and buy another SKS or buy, you know, whatever. And it was really, really great. SKSs were selling for under $100 for a little while, which is a great, you know, deal on a good little rifle. Now, so that happened when the Eastern Bloc countries all collapsed. But what a lot of people don't realize is that that panicked a lot of the gun grabbers in U.S. Political circles. They saw all these private companies making private deals with these countries in Eastern Europe and importing in massive amounts of private weaponry. And this really terrified a lot of the liberal gun-grabbing, you know, nanny-staters that are out there wanting to take all your guns. So by...
You mean the Republicans?
Them, yes. Because in 2000, the Republicans took control of government in the U.S. And guess what George W. Bush did right after he took control? He reauthorized and signed a document that allowed, and I'm going to put some stuff in the show notes for today, but that allowed First off, they couldn't really stop the flow of guns on this end, on the American end of this thing. So what George W. Bush did was he signed the authorization for U.S. troops to go into places like Albania and Ukraine and literally go door-to-door. American U.S. troops, along with German troops and Norwegian troops, went around in Albania and stole 130,000 small arms from Albanian citizens. Not what they took from the government, not that stuff, but from Albanian citizens, and disarmed Albanians, disarmed Ukrainians, and destroyed those weapons. George W. Bush used the U.S. military to go door to door and confiscate and destroy personal weapons.
You're listening to the Freedom Fiends, and I'm beaming these words into your cerebellum.
Hey, this is Squizzcar Squiggles from Death Clocks, and you are listening to the Freedom Fiends on the radios. And I guess I says worms now, so there you go.
Tired of those old Freedom Fiends buttons? Well, the Freedom Fiends have new button designs.
As always, it's only $10 for 10 buttons, and you'll get these nifty designs. Buy sheep, for sheep, on sheep.
State speech is hate speech.
Two designs for Guns and Weed, the Road to Freedom.
Three designs for Fiend Phone.
Bipcot No Gov.
A Freedom Fiends Worms button.
And Ask Me About My Worms.
Go to freedomfiends.com and click on the link at the top that says Buttons.
And now they're bigger buttons.
They used to be 1¼ inch. Now they're 1¾ inch. Dan, they're bigger buttons.
What does freedom mean? Tune in to LRN.FM to find out. LRN.FM is the Liberty Radio Network, a collection of live talk radio and podcasts, all coming from a principled pro-liberty perspective. LRN.FM show hosts aren't left, right, or conspiracy kooks. You can tune in 24/7 to LRN.FM via your phone, computer, satellite, and more. Listen free anytime at LRN.FM. That's LRN.FM.
So I made some pretty wild accusations against George W. Bush right before the break, and somebody listening might say, he didn't know what he's talking about. George Bush is pro-gun. He doesn't know what he's talking about. Well, tell you what, if you don't want to waste your time coming to Freedom Fiends website and looking at the notes in today's show, then consider this. What I was talking about comes from U.S. Foreign Policy Agenda, U.S. Department of State publication titled Small Arms and Light Weapons, U.S. Policy and Views. And you can find that at a statedepartment.gov website. I'll put this link in today's show notes. And this comes from the Office of Weapons Removal and Abatement. That's referred to as WRA, Weapons Removal and Abatement. There's a whole department that does this, and all through the Bush administration, and it's going on now under Obama as well. There was a giant government program to go into other countries and disarm citizens of those other countries. So this happened in Ukraine between 2004 and 2007. The U.S. military went in. And they had a contractor that went in with the U.S. military and with other NATO forces in the Ukraine. And in Ukraine, they confiscated more than 400,000 small arms just in Ukraine. Now, keep in mind, this happened in Ukraine under the Bush administration, and then not long after that, there's a revolution going on in Ukraine, and people can't defend themselves. It's just, I'm sure it's just a coincidence that first you go in and disarm them with NATO troops, and then there's a revolution that takes place. So purely coincidence, nothing to relate one to the other.
Nothing to do with each other.
Yeah. In 2003, the U.S. military command in Iraq established the total arms removal program that moved to secure locations inside Iraq that were controlled by coalition forces, somewhere between 70 and 80,000 tons of small arms. The U.S. Army Corps of Engineers paid four contractors $287 million to gather, sort, and destroy confiscated weapons at six collection sites in Iraq. And this is not stuff that belonged to the government of Iraq. This is stuff that they took from citizens of Iraq, disarming the citizens of Iraq. In 2003, George W. Bush authorized...
Let me play status advocate here. Playing status advocate would be, but those aren't Americans. They weren't born here. They didn't go through the process to become citizens. Therefore, they can't be trusted.
Go ahead, Lou.
I'm joking, but I'm not joking, because there's a lot of people out there that have that idea that, well, we are the only ones that can be trusted, and they say that the others can't be trusted. So therefore, you know, George W. Bush has to abandon free market principles to save the free market, and yeah, I just go out there and control everything.
And in case somebody doesn't know who's hearing that on the radio, that's a sort of a perverted quote of George Bush's, where he said that he had to say the quote again. What was it that he said? That was in reference to the bailouts, right?
It's an almost entirely exact quote. We have to abandon free market principles to save the free market. As a matter of fact, I think Rick Santorum may have said something similar to that in one of his campaign speeches of, well, I had to abandon my principles to save my principles.
What kind of twisted world?
Yeah, he was talking about, I forget what he was talking, I think he was probably talking about medicine. I kind of remember that.
Yeah. Well, if you listen to the stupid stuff that politicians say, you know, going back to Donald Trump, you know, the American dream is dead. I'm going to make it bigger and better. Seriously?
A bigger, better, dead dream. Dreams from New York billionaires.
Exactly. Yeah. So anyway, yeah, go back to the gun grabby stuff.
Enjoying that. So in 2003, George W. Bush authorized a failed attempt by coalition forces in Iraq to reduce the number of weapons in the hands of the average Iraqi citizens. They started an amnesty program designed to encourage the turning in of small arms. And despite their efforts and despite door-to-door crackdowns and confiscations and raids, the black market trade in small arms flourished in Iraq. Imagine that. Iraqis could buy an AK-47 on the black market for around $10 and then take it down and sell it to the coalitions in their buyback program for $300. Genius.
Wow.
So,
you know, if I could jump in, that is the cobra problem. I believe in India there was a problem with cobras, so the government put a bounty out on cobras, which was a financial incentive for people to start breeding cobras.
Yeah, they want it.
So they can make money by turning them in.
So you...
Yeah.
Wow, this is... Okay, so this is a little bit of a tangent into fantasy here, but the second Survivor Max is due out in October, and so I've been working on the third Survivor Max. And this is a story about a boy living through a zombie apocalypse. And I've fathomed this class of people called scalpers. And what it is that one of the safe havens will use the scalps of zombies as currency, because it proves that you've done the service of killing a zombie. But what the scalpers have discovered is that it doesn't have to be a zombie. They can scalp any poor sap on the road and use it as currency.
This is the law of unintended consequences, you know, that...
Right, which is what I'm trying to express in the story.
Right.
Yeah, the road to hell is paved with government intentions.
Yeah, I made a meme.
But without the government, who will pave the road to hell?
Right.
Right.
How would we find our direction? We wouldn't have a road to hell if we didn't have the government to pave it for us. Oh, man.
Exactly.
So if anybody wants to look this stuff up, if you still think I'm crazy or you think I'm lying or I'm making this stuff up, the United States had they commemorated the Small Arms Destruction Day with there was a day designated by the U.S. government as United States Small Arms Destruction Day, and they had the way they commemorated this was with the millionth weapon destruction event, and this was in 2007 under George Bush again, and they celebrated that they had destroyed all of these small arms. And again, we're talking about rifles and pistols. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about small arms. We're not talking about tanks. It's not ICBMs. It's not landmines. But landmines is an interesting thing, though, because much of the money going to destroy landmines around the world is being diverted to disarming locals from their, you know, their own personal arms. So, you know, we have this great cause. Oh, get out there and get rid of those nasty landmines that evil governments have put out. And in the excuse of that, the money actually goes to disarm citizens. Under the supervision of Brigadier...
Right.
Under the supervision of Brigadier General Robert Davis, Army Corps of Engineers, there was an estimated 650,000 tons of small arms collected and destroyed in Iraq. And this came not only from military depots, but from civilian confiscations and black market raids. Now, I don't know how many pistols and rifles it takes to make up 650,000 tons, but that's a lot of guns destroyed by George W. Bush. And why? Again, I'm going to make the argument that he didn't want them, and the people controlling George Bush didn't want them coming to America into the normal gun market. And if a person was like a crazy conspiracy theorist, you might even say, well, there's certain gun advocates in the U.S. who wouldn't want that kind of a dump of cheap handguns and rifles into the American market, like all those people who sell $600, $800, $2,000 rifles wouldn't necessarily want a bunch of $100 AK-47s available to go down and pick up at the local pawn shop or whatever. So that's just some conspiracy.
Do they still use the word brigadier? What is a brigadier?
Yeah, that's
a, as far as generals go, a brigadier general is a one-star general.
One-star general. So it's like his Yelp rating?
Pretty much, yeah.
I have no idea.
I give him one star.
I think the term brigadier, yeah. As far as referring to somebody as a brigadier instead of as a brigadier general, I think that's more unique to the British military.
Okay.
So.
Groovy.
How do we turn this positive? This is a bunch of negative stuff. How do we turn this positive and give folks a good feeling before we send them off for the end of the Freedom Fiend show today?
Well, by the time the government gets its act together and actually manage to confiscate any guns in any valuable capacity, you'll be able to print your own.
Hey, so, there's the good news.
There's always that.
We've got Cody Wilson on our side. We win.
Yeah, I've got multiple suggestions for this. Cody Wilson with the 3D printable gun, the Liberator, and then also the Ghost Gunner machine for printing an 80% lower. With just those two things, with the plans for the 3D printed gun and the Ghost Gunner CNC machine, Cody Wilson will personally do more to preserve gun ownership than the Second Amendment, the NRA, and every activist marching around in front of a politician's office waving the government's flag combined. So I would tell people, you know, the Second Amendment advocates, the ones that that say that they're constitutionalists and they believe in shall not be infringed. First thing I would say is stop calling yourselves law-abiding citizens, because that's just another name for obedient slave.
Yeah.
If you believe that there is no such thing as an illegal gun, then unregistered guns are no problems. Guns that are smuggled in from somewhere else through the illicit market are not illegal because shall not be infringed. And there's an article here in the IGA review, and if you could throw that in the show notes, I think you'll like it. And it's in the title of it is Gun Rights Advocates Have a Devastating New Argument Against Gun Control. Here it is. And I personally think that this argument could be applied to any action of government. And rather than quoting statistics and rhetoric and rhyming phrases and stuff like that. Here's the perfect response for all of the gun grabbing or pig grabbing, cannabis grabbing, and that is, go Feinstein yourself. Just say no to government.
Yeah,
worms.
Worms.
You're listening to Freedom Fiends with Michael Dean and some of his weird friends. And yes, we're broadcasting this into space.
Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. Basic Handgun and Rifle with Jared Waltz.
First rule of being alive is you own yourself.
A groundbreaking approach to firearms and self-defense training. Beautifully filmed and easy to understand instructions make this one a must-have. Gun Training with the Non-Aggression Principle, Volume 1. New DVD from Michael W. Dean, available on Amazon.
Your house is your property.
For some reason in this country, and in most of the Western world, it's okay to just dodge.
Hey, this is Michael Dean from the Freedom Fiends radio show. Computer programmer Derek Slopey and I have created Fiend Phone. I'm using Fiend Phone right now to talk with and record one of my co-hosts in real time. Take it, Davi.
Hey, this is Davi Barker, and I'm 1,000 miles away from Michael, but we sound like we're in the same room.
We sure do, Davi. So, Davi, please tell the nice people more about Fiend Phone.
Fiend Phone is free, no-gov software that opens up a global world of possibilities for collaborative, high-quality, remote voice media production, and I'm digging it.
People can try FiendPhone right now at FiendPhone.com, but we're also raising money to vastly improve FiendPhone and vastly improve independent talk media worldwide.
So go to FiendPhone.com to help out. Who will build the audio roads? We will, with your help.
That's FiendPhone.com, FeenPhone.com, Foxtrot, Echo, Echo, November, Phone.com.
FiendPhone, I never knew remote audio could be this good.
The Central Scrutinizer is a Soviet-style Leviathan trying to keep track of all you do. That's why I use a VPN, or virtual private network, from Bola VPN. Bola VPN is inexpensive, secure, and will allow you to use your computer without leaving a trail. Bola VPN is now also offering torrent seed boxes for safely sharing media with the world. And if you open a support ticket saying you heard about them from the Freedom Fiends, they'll add 3 extra days free. That's Bola VPN at BOLEHVPN.net.
Freedom Fiends. Pouring molten truth down your ear hole. So the good news, yes, that Lou brought up is that we have Cody Wilson on our side. And the free market, the market itself, the real market, the thing that's out there where that you can't touch and you can't stop and you can't, it's a force that's greater than any government. That's what the market is. The market is the desire of one human to the wanting something, that desire to have a particular thing, and the desire of another human to be able to provide that thing at a reasonable price. And those things together create the market. And this is a force that cannot be stopped by governments. Governments can try, they can regulate it, they can pass laws outlawing it, they can come around and have inspections, and they can do all this kind of stuff that they want to do. But in the long run, the market is like water seeking the sea. It's going to make its way. It's going to go through solid rock. It's going to push anything out of the way. Dams won't hold up. Eventually, every dam fails. And that's all restrictions on the market are. All they are is temporary dams, and they're all going to eventually fail, and the market will win. And it's things like it's innovations in the market that make laws stupid and ridiculous. So, for instance, there's a little toy that I've had my eye on for a while, and I really hope to get one of these days, and that is a countertop distillation machine that you just, you put some sugar in there and you put some water in there and you mix it up a little bit and it starts to ferment and then it starts to cook and then the next thing you know, it's dripping out alcohol. And something like this makes alcohol laws outdated, throws them away, destroys them. Because if everybody can have a machine that's as simple to use as a coffee maker, they can sit it on their counter and they can make their own alcohol at about $5 a gallon, then why in the world would they go down and, you know, pay all the taxes involved to go to a liquor store and buy it themselves. Well, the same thing is true with technology and weapons and guns and pretty much anything else that you can imagine. The technology is moving ahead, and governments are getting left behind. We're talking, think about finances. Think about what Bitcoin is doing, and not only Bitcoin, but whatever is going to replace Bitcoin in the next generations and the next generations. Governments cannot control the market. All they can do is temporarily hold back the floods, but eventually the water reaches the sea. So how's that for a rant, guys?
Oh, it's not too bad at all.
I support this rant.
and something else with government being the obstruction in the river market, when there's an obstruction, the water has a tendency to just go around the obstruction. And in the case of a dam, yeah, it's going to take a little while, but if you have a big giant boulder in there, you know, some big dumb rock, which is a perfect explanation for government, the market goes around it. And I did an internet search one time. It was things stopped by government or problems solved by government, and not even Google could find that. So just think of all the things that are prohibited that are so easily available today. Don't worry about it. Go ahead, let them take the Second Amendment. You know, it's just a piece of paper. If your rights are dependent upon words being scribbled on paper, then they're not really rights; they're privileges. As a matter of fact, all these gun-toting, Second Amendment-loving conservatives should beg for the Second Amendment to be repealed. Because then, as our good friend Bill Buford has put it, then there's no nibbling at the edges, there's no death by a thousand cuts, then they have to put up or shut up.
You know, let me address that too, because Roderick Long is a really smart guy, way smarter than me, and he wrote a thing several years back, I think it was about 2007 or 2008 if I recall, and the beginning of the statement said that all libertarians agree that government needs to be shrunk back and restricted and held back, and I think, no, all libertarians don't agree to that. I don't agree to that. I see every time government grows and gets more oppressive and gets more into our business and telling us how big of a big gulp Coke we can drink or whatever, every time government gets like that, more and more rebels, more and more radicals are birthed into what it is that we do. There's more and more of us out there, and every time the grip gets tighter, there's more and more of us that slip through. So, yeah, eliminate the Second Amendment. Watch what happens. Have a gun grab. Watch what happens. Outlaw more and more things. Watch what happens.
And the next time that there's a gun buyback in your community, turn it into a swap meet.
Yeah. Thanks, guys.
It's been a good show.
Always a pleasure to be had by you, Ben.
Don't cry over spilled cops.
Don't cry over spilled cops. I want that in a tattoo.